Well, hi, friends, and welcome back to the James Epperly Show. Can you imagine a life where peace isn't just the absence of chaos, but a transformative, all-encompassing experience that changes how you interact with the world? Well, today, we have something extraordinary in store for you. I am thrilled to introduce you to Terry A. Smith, a visionary pastor with over 30 years of wisdom. And his new groundbreaking book, The Lord Give You Peace, A 28-Day Journey to Thrive in God's Shalom. So in a time when anxiety seems to be everywhere, Terry's insights on biblical shalom offer a powerful guide to discovering true and lasting peace. So if you're ready to challenge the conventional ideas of peace and dive deep into a journey that can transform your life, then stay tuned. Don't go anywhere because this is going to be amazing. Well, Terry, thank you so much for joining us today and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are super excited to tap into your over 30 years of pastoral wisdom, and especially with a crucial topic in these very anxious times. So thank you for writing this book and bringing it to the body of Christ.
Thank you, James. I really appreciate you having me. Looking forward to chatting with you. And I'm always grateful when somebody's interested to talk to me about something I've written, especially something this important for people's lives. So thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for being here today. So real quick, before we dive into your book, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? For instance, how did you come to find Jesus and what did that path look like that led you into 30 years of ministry and now as an author?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home, blessed in every way in that regard with great parents, and confessed my faith in Jesus and was baptized when I was 6 years old. I don't have a very dramatic, came out of the depths of sin kind of story, though all of us are born into it. But evidently what happened when I was six worked, because here I still am all these many years later. My dad was a successful businessman who felt a call to vocational ministry. And basically he and my mother sold everything they had to enter vocational ministry. That happened when I was a freshman in high school, and that rocked my world in the most positive way possible. I saw my parents take risk for the gospel, step out in faith, change their lives. And I started preaching when I was 16. I felt called to pastor a church in a suburb of New York City in my teenage years, and entered ministry in my, about 20. And started pastoring the church where I'm at, the Life Christian Church in West Orange, New Jersey, at age 29. And here I sit before you at age 62. I've actually been in vocational ministry for, well, over 40 years. And I've been serving as lead pastor of the Life Christian Church here in a suburb of Manhattan for 33 plus years.
Wow. In your book, The Lord Give You Peace, you explore this deeper meaning of biblical peace that goes beyond, I guess I would say, a mere absence of conflict, right? But could you explain a little bit, what is the difference of the meaning of traditional peace, and how is that different from the biblical concept of shalom?
That's a great question and a really, really important question, and it speaks to a huge idea in Scripture. So we typically take the Hebrew word shalom, which is it and its corresponding Greek word in the New Testament, are used some 550 times in the Bible. We typically translate the word and concept shalom by our word peace. And when we talk about peace in the English language, and in the jargon of our day, we're typically referring to the absence of conflict or a state of tranquility, which is a part of what biblical peace is. However, the idea is so much bigger than that. The idea of shalom in Scripture, or as we typically call it, peace, refers to everything in our life being aligned with God's good intentions until we experience holistic well-being, productive flourishing, and happy fulfillment in our lives. Shalom, as the great philosopher, theologian Cornelius Plantinga defined it, is the way things are supposed to be. When you think about what God wanted for humanity, shalom looks like that.
Wow. How do we get that back into our lives? I know that's what your book explores, but man, when you say how things are the way they're supposed to be, I think we all have that internal desire, I mean, to see our lives lived out the way God intended for us. So how do we recapture the shalom of God back into our lives?
Well, first of all, of course, it's important to say that we receive God's shalom when we receive Jesus. I mean, Jesus is our shalom. He is actually called peace at various times throughout Scripture, both prophetically and in the New Testament. And so the most important thing to receiving God's shalom is believing in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says that through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. But then he goes on to say, and therefore we should enjoy the grace that we now have, and we are happy because of the hope we have to share in God's glory. So I think it's important then not only for us to believe in Jesus, but to understand the tremendous possibility around this in our lives. It's not just that we make peace with God or he's no longer angry with us.
Yeah,
I think that's a theme of yours, if I understand properly, that God's not mad at you.
Yeah.
But it's about more than that. Peace with God isn't just God no longer is experiencing a sense of wrath about your sinfulness. It is peace with God means that you now have the potential to actually live the life that God dreamed for you in the beginning, life in all of its fullness. Or as the Message translates John 10:10, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. Peace with God gives us entree into everything God ever designed for each of us as human beings and for humanity in general.
Yeah. So then why do we specifically as believers fail to tap into this so much? Is it just a lack of teaching in our theology, or why are we living so far below the full manifested shalom in our life?
I think that we have really low expectations of what we should expect as followers of Jesus. I think that way too many of us have a survival mentality where we should have a thriver mentality. The idea of shalom, James, which obviously I've written an entire book about, so there's a lot I could say, but in response to your question, something that might be helpful is to say that the idea of shalom is not just about the absence of a negative thing. It's about the abundant presence of a positive thing.
Come on, that's so good.
So it's not just about not experiencing anxiety, which there's great need around that. And as if the goal is just to not be anxious. But the goal is to have an abundance of joy. It's not just, you know, to have an absence of fear. It's to have an abundance of faith. It's not just to have an absence of, let's say, poverty. It's to have an abundance of opportunity and a life full of possibility. Shalom is abundant life.
In every season is what you're saying. And regardless of what's coming at you, what circumstances are, the shalom of God elevates us above that is what you're saying, not necessarily the absence of it.
Yeah. One way I like to get at this is Isaiah 55 has God telling people in exile that he's going to set them free from exile and that he's going to lead them back to Jerusalem, what he had dreamed for them.
Yeah.
And the people who had been in exile for so long were having a difficult time believing that that was possible. And God said, my thoughts about you are higher than your thoughts about you, and my ways are higher than your ways. And I always used to think that that meant that I'm stupid and God's smart. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And while that's true, that's not, in fact, what the text is saying. God is saying, my expectations for your life are higher than your expectations for your life, and my abilities to bring those expectations to pass are greater than your abilities. And then he goes on to promise them that his word is going to cause everything that he's promised them to bud and flourish, which is a great word. And that's the first section of my book, The Lord Give You Peace, is flourish. God says, my word, based on my thoughts for you, will cause everything I've promised you to bud and flourish. And he said, you'll go out in shalom, or you'll go out in joy and in peace, and you'll be led forth in joy. So I think we have low expectations for ourselves, and we need to see that God has so much more for us than we could possibly imagine.
So you mentioned about the first section of your book being flourish, and your book is actually broken up into four different sections: flourish, cultivate, harmonize, and increase. So can you walk us through this progression that kind of leads us to the journey of peace or shalom in our life?
Yes. So the book is called The Lord Give You Peace, a 28-day journey to thrive in God's shalom. And so it's organized, as you mentioned, into four sections or 4 weeks with seven readable chapters for 7 days of each week, or seven chapters of each section. The first is flourish. And it's just this idea about how much God wants to flourish us, that our lives should be thriving, that we should be full of life and full of possibility and full of good things. And that, you know, even in the midst of challenging times, and I speak to the realities that all of us face in life, the challenges, the struggles, the suffering, the hardship, you know, we're in the already, but not yet. The kingdom has come, but we're not fully in it, right? And so I one way I get at this is I talk a lot about God's people in exile in the Old Testament and how many times God promised them, even in the midst of the wilderness, that he was going to still cause their experience to be an experience of shalom. So the first section is flourish. The second section is cultivate. And that's where I dig into how do we cultivate this shalom possibility? How do we, you know, it's not just as if God waves a magic wand and shaloms us. The reality is it's more like he plants this seed in us, and we cultivate this by aligning ourselves with God's word and learning to think the way God thinks and live the way God designed us to live. And so I dig into that in the second section. The third section is harmonize. And that is to say that God wants to shalom our relationships. In fact, the Apostle Paul makes a big deal about this in the New Testament, particularly his writing to the Ephesians, where he talks about Jesus being our shalom, and how that through what Jesus did in Ephesians 2, we're told this, we have peace with God, or shalom with God, but we also have shalom with each other. Everything is the way it's supposed to be in our relationships with one another, to such an extent that Paul says we are actually one new humanity. What does it look like for us to live that out in our lives? It's unity, and it's something beyond human unity. It's harmony. And so that section is called harmonize. And then fourth is increase. So peace is made to increase. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a seed planted in the ground. It starts out small, but it ends up becoming the biggest plant in the whole garden. We were meant to increase, and we should have an expectation that the good things of God in our lives are going to increase. Do I have time to say one other thing about that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's a big idea of my book, The Lord Give You Peace. And I talk about this in the introduction and work on this throughout the whole book. It's in Isaiah chapter 8, where Isaiah is describing a time in the life of God's people when things were not as they should be. And he says, he describes their condition as one of gloom and darkness and despair. But then he says, I've got good news. There's an answer for this. And it's this, and he goes into Isaiah chapter 9, and you're very familiar with this.
Yeah.
And most of our audience will be as well. He says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And then he says, of the increase of his government, of the increase of his government and shalom, there will be no end. And so not only is Jesus the Prince of Peace who comes in to save us from darkness, but of the increase of his rule in our lives, of his kingdom and shalom, there will be no end. So we need to understand, as we learn to live our lives God's way more and more, which is, you know, what spiritual growth really is. As we learn to do that, as the kingdom grows in our lives, the more God's shalom grows. Peace is made to increase.
Wow. That is so good, Pastor Terry. And I want to circle back to the section of cultivating it in our lives. What are some tangible steps that you encourage your readers to take to start cultivating shalom or that peace in your lives, to grow into it?
Well, I start in that section by making sure that I give proper attention to the classic spiritual disciplines that all of us know we should be practicing. Prayer, Bible reading, being a part of a church community, meditation, etc. Those things are means of grace, things God uses to do the things in our lives that he wants to do, but he can't do, or maybe I should say won't do, unless we align ourselves with him. We have to cultivate those things. But then I kind of do a series of essays on some things that I think are important specific to the cultivation of peace or shalom. Just a couple of those seven chapters in that cultivate section are this. First of all, I talk about cultivating an awareness of how much God loves us. As simple as it is, you know, Paul's powerful prayer in Ephesians has him praying that we would be able to grasp the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of his love. He says, you're never going to fully get it, but I'm praying that you'll understand it more and more. When we walk in an awareness of how much God loves us, this is peace cultivation. And then I move from that. The next chapter is cultivating a sense of how much God likes us. Love, you know, is a divine obligation, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of agape and so on. Like is kind of another thing. So you and I both know there are people that we know we are required to love, but we don't necessarily like.
Yeah.
Right?
I laugh at that because growing up, my mother used to say about certain people, I love them with the love of Christ, but I don't like them.
Well,
so I love that those chapters are titled that.
Yeah. And so God likes us. I mean, there is every reason to understand that God, our creator, who created us in his own image, but with our own uniqueness, actually likes what he created. He likes us.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when we talk about being conformed to the image of Christ, it's almost as if we lose our own personhood, but we become conformed to the image of Christ with our own unique personality, with our own unique makeup in every way. And God, I spend a lot of time on this, God likes us. It's an amazing thing when you cultivate an awareness of how much God loves you, and you cultivate an awareness of how much God likes you. This is one or two ways, perhaps we could say, of cultivating shalom in our lives.
Yeah. Pastor Terry, that is so good. And I think so many people miss that. And, you know, depending on how you view God and how you were raised or denominational things, but just getting that he absolutely loves us. But I love that you took it one step further. Because it's almost like, well, he loves us because he has to love us. But beyond that, he absolutely likes us. And we're his creation. He gave us, the DNA that we have and some of those giftings and personality traits. So I love that you touch on that so much. You also talk in your book about, and you mentioned it here already in the interview, but how the shalom affects community and affects relationships in our lives. Can you touch on that a little bit? Because I know so many people struggle in that aspect of relating to other people and having peace in relationships. What do you encourage people in your book when it comes to relationships?
I think in some of my past books, I've spent a little bit more time talking about the marriage relationship and our relationship to our children as parents and so on. I really felt impressed in The Lord Give You Peace to celebrate the church and local churches. I just have seen the impact, the shalom impact in people's lives in every way by the simple fact that they were connected to a healthy church community. And, you know, every church is led by an imperfect human being and imperfect human beings, and every church is peopled with imperfect human beings. But somehow God decided to use that as the place where he would shape us in tremendously powerful ways. And I make the case in The Lord Give You Peace that to some extent, as the church goes, so go you. And as you go, so goes the church. I really want people to fall in love with the church and to not give up on churches and to make sure that in the context of the church that they are peacemakers. I mean, there's a good bit said in the New Testament of both from Jesus and Paul and other writers of epistles about the importance of peacemaking. What does it look like when we see ourselves as the active agent that God wants to use in our relationship with other believers to make peace, which doesn't just mean we don't fight with each other. It means that we create an environment for thriving and flourishing and an abundance of good things.
Yeah, I love that you touch on that, because I don't know when the last time I've heard a good sermon on being a peacemaker and making peace. And I think we need so much more of that in the body of Christ today.
Absolutely.
So finally, you in your book, The Lord Give You Peace, you structure it as this 28-day journey. So what inspired you to kind of make it a guide for readers like this in a 28-day journey over just writing a traditional book?
I would say a couple of things. I would say that from a practical level, people aren't spending the time really that they should reading longer books. And I'm a reader. I have a very extensive library. I love to read, but I know that that's not what a lot of people are doing now. So yeah. I tried to make this a very readable book. It's substantive. I think that you will see that. In fact, it's technically called a devotional book, but it's a theology of shalom, yeah, really. But I try to offer it in these bite sizes with lots of stories and hopefully some humor, and to make it very readable. And therefore, I broke it into 28, really 10-minute reads. But the other thing is, it's pretty commonly known that it usually takes 28 days to start a new habit. Yeah. And I'm trying to help people develop a habit of shalom in 28 days.
That is so good. Well, Pastor Terry, could you take a moment and pray for any of our viewers who maybe they feel like they're struggling in this area of peace and, you know, that just need some encouragement today? Would you pray for them?
Absolutely. Father, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to speak to the people who are watching and listening to us today. And I am sure that they're coming to this program and regularly connecting with James is a sign of their desire to know you better, a desire to have needs met in their lives. And I just pray today that you will encourage those who are watching and listening around your desire to give them shalom and for shalom to increase in their life. May they just begin to have an expectation of that. And may they confess their faith in you and your desire to give it to them. And I pray that you will help people feel less anxious today, but not only that, but to feel more joyful, to feel more hopeful, to feel more feel more full of faith. And so, Lord, over everyone listening to the sound of my voice right now, I pray the prayer you told us to pray, where you would bless your people and put your name on them. I pray for everyone listening now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you and make his face shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we received that, Pastor Terry. Thank you, sir, for being with us today.
Thank you, James. I sure appreciate it.
Amen.
At Pioneer Television Network, we are dedicated to spreading the spirit of revival and sharing the hope and love of Jesus with people everywhere. Every broadcast, every message, and every life touched is made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Your gift will not only help us continue to share this life-changing message, but also empower us to reach even more people with the hope of revival. As our way of saying thank you, we love to send you a book of your choice from one of our recent ministry guests. It's easy to give. Use the information at the bottom of your screen or text PTN now to 1-888-364-GIVE. Your generosity will help us bring the spirit of revival to countless lives around the world. Thank you for standing with us and for being part of this incredible mission. Together, we're making an eternal impact.
Oh, wow. What an incredible conversation, Pastor Terry. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and helping us see that peace isn't just something we hope for. It's something we can live in every single day. And for all of you watching, well, we have a special opportunity for you to be a part of this mission. When you contribute just $25 to help support our ministry, we would love to send you a copy of Terry's powerful book, The Lord Give You Peace, a 28-day journey to thrive in God's shalom. It's just our way of saying thank you for partnering with us to spread this life-changing message around the world. And remember, you are never alone. If you need prayer, we are here for you. So you can submit your prayer request anytime. Just text us, email us, or visit our website. So thank you for being a part of this amazing community. And remember, as always, God loves you. He's not mad at you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Life can be hectic, and we often find ourselves rushing from one task to the other. However, with the Pioneer Network app, you can discover faith and inspiration wherever you are. Featuring original programming crafted to uplift and strengthen your faith, the app connects you with some of the world's leading Christian voices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're commuting, exercising, or taking a break, spiritual enrichment is now just a tap away. Don't let the busyness of life distract you from your faith journey. Stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform. This has been the James Epperly Show. This worldwide broadcast is made possible by friends and partners of Pioneer Television Network. Your faithful monthly support helps take this message around the world. To learn more, visit thejamesepperlyshow.com.